Psalm 27, verse number 1 and 2. Psalm 27. The Bible says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Let's read verse 3. "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day and for Your blessings. We ask God that You might bless the Word of God now as we preach. We ask God that it might be a blessing to each one that's come this morning, and pray You might be honored and glorified through what's said here today, and we might be drawn closer to You. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 27, verse number 1 is my text. David, the author of this psalm, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, there's many kinds of fears that we experience. Some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of getting old. Some people are afraid of losing their health. Some people are afraid of failure in life. Some people are just simply afraid of the unknown and the uncertainties in life. And I think we all experience that from time to time. Fear is common to every human being. Every one of us has experienced fear in some way or another. And there's a popular bumper sticker slogan that's been around for years, and you'll see it on stickers, and it says, "No fear," or "Not scared." Amen? And so this morning I'm going to speak on "I won't be afraid," how to make your fears disappear. David said there in Psalm 27:1, he said, "Whom shall I fear, and of whom shall I be afraid?" And so David's not fearful. David is not afraid. Now, he says in verse number 2, he said, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, and this will I be confident." David says, "I'm not going to fear, I'm not going to be afraid, I'm going to be confident," because his confidence is in God. And he says, "I don't need to be afraid, and I'm not going to be afraid, and you don't need to be afraid either about some things." Now, it's important to know and understand your fears. A good definition of fear, by the way, is simply a healthy respect for people or things. That's what fear boils down to. And it's important to know and understand what your fears are, because you serve who or what it is that you fear. You find what you fear, and you'll find out probably what you're serving, because you serve the one that you fear and the thing that you fear. There's some unhealthy fears that result in anxiety and what we call phobias. There's fear of heights. There's fear of flying. There's fear of losing your job. There's fear of aging. There's fear of losing your health, of failure, again, of the unknown, which we said before. There's fear of the outdoors. Some people are literally afraid to go outside their house. You know that? It's very rare, but some people have that kind of a fear. There's fear of ridicule. People fear what people think about them and might say about them. That's why they don't say anything, don't speak up when it's time to speak up. They're afraid of what people might think or say about them. That's unhealthy fears, but now there's some healthy fears. A healthy fear contributes to good physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being. A good fear does, a healthy fear. You ought to fear electricity. You ought to have a healthy respect for electricity and keep your hands out of the sockets. Amen? You ought to have a fear of God. You ought to have a healthy respect for God and be careful to honor Him and mind Him in your life. You ought to have a fear of sin. You ought to have a healthy respect for sin and that which is wrong, and steer clear of it and be afraid of what it can do to you. Sin can hurt you. Sin can damage you. Sin can damn you. And you ought to be afraid of sin. Some folks are afraid of spiders and snakes and wasps. I am. I want nothing to do with them except kill them if I can. Amen? Only good snake's a dead snake. You say, well, if you look at their heads, you can tell if they're poisonous or not. I do look at them after they're dead. Amen? In that moment of fear and phobia, I'm not really looking to see what their head shaped like, if it's a pencil or not. Amen? Now, many times in the Bible we're told over and over again to fear not, to be not afraid, and to fret not. The Bible tells us to be careful for nothing. That means don't be full of care and anxiety and worry about anything. But with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And He said, the peace of God shall rule and reign in your hearts. So we need to be for right with God, and we have the right view of God and the right trust and faith in God that we should, then we can be careful for nothing. We don't have to be anxious and full of fears and things like that. We don't have to fear and fret if we really trust in God as we should. So I'm going to look at a couple things in this verse here, in verse number 1, and apply them to what Jesus Christ is to us. Let me say first of all this. I don't need to be afraid because Jesus Christ is my light. Amen. He said, the Lord is my light. And of course, the Lord is God Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is my light, and because He is my light, I don't need to be afraid. Amen. I don't need to fear because He's my light. A common fear is a fear of the dark. And you don't need to be afraid of the dark if Jesus Christ is your light. Amen. What does light do? Well, light illuminates and lightens the darkness. That's what light does. A teacher asked her class one day, said, which is more important, the sun or the moon? The young student said, the moon is more important than the sun. The teacher asked, why is the moon more important than the sun? He said this, because the moon gives us light in the night when it's dark, and the sun gives us light in the day when we don't need it. Amen? All right. So, you gotta have some light, amen? And light will enlighten you and illuminate the darkness. Very often, troubling and fearful times are compared to darkness in the Bible and in just literature in general, because we feel lost and in need of direction or light when we're in the dark. So when you're in a place in life where you have no direction, you have no bearings, you're in the dark. And what you need is you need to be enlightened. You need some light. You may feel that you're in the darkness of fear and worry and uncertainty. And when you're fearful, when you have uncertainty, and when you're worried about things, it's because you're in the dark. If you've ever walked into a room that's in total darkness, there's going to be some hesitation on your part, some caution, and apprehension because you're fearful about making a wrong turn and walking into something or someone. Or maybe finding something that you really don't want to run into. The same would not be true if the lights were turned on. If the lights are turned on, you can see where you're going. You're not as careful because you can see the things around you. You can see your surroundings. You're familiar with it. You're aware of what's going on around you. But in the dark, you're not. So in the dark, there's some fear there. But if you've got Jesus Christ as your light, you don't have to walk in the darkness. Amen? You've got a light to show you the way. A dad told his little boy one time to go upstairs and go to bed. Halfway up the stairs, the little boy remembered the light switch was too high for him to reach. You remember when your kids were small, they couldn't reach, they had to jump up, and sometimes they still couldn't reach the light switch. And they get frustrated because they couldn't do it. Well, this boy here, when he got halfway up the stairs, he realized, I can't get the light switch. I can hardly reach it. So his dad told him not to worry. It was okay because God was upstairs, and God would take care of him. Well, the boy took another step up the stairs. He looked up the stairs and said, God, if you're up there, don't move because you'll scare me to death. Because he couldn't get the light on. It's still dark, amen? Now, it's the same way in life. There's some troubling, dark times that we go through, and our fears increase because we don't know which way to go or what to do because we're in the dark about something or some issue in life or something we're going through. David's fear here disappears because he recognized that the Lord was his light in the dark and fearful times. He said, the Lord is my light. So Jesus Christ is my light if I'm saved, and I don't have to be afraid of the dark, amen? I don't have to be afraid of the unknown, really. I can walk by faith. The Lord, by the way, doesn't necessarily give David here a light or a flashlight or something, but rather the Lord Himself personally becomes the light that David wants and needs. And you know who your personal guide is through the dark times in life? It's Jesus Christ. He's not necessarily carrying a lantern or a flashlight or something or a torch. He is the light. The Bible says God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. And if Jesus Christ is God, which we believe He is, there's no darkness in Him. Amen. There's only light in Him. And He said in John 8:12, Jesus Christ said this. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so if you want to have the light of life and you want to stop walking in the darkness and being fearful of the darkness, get in the presence of Jesus Christ and follow Him because He's your guide. Amen. He is your light through the darkness. Oh, we sing that song in the hymn book, Heavenly Sunlight. It says, shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in Him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I'm rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine. And if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. Amen. You ain't got to be afraid of the dark. That old song says, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow Him. Amen. The Lord in the Old Testament was a pillar by day of cloud to the Jews and a pillar of fire by night to lead them through the wilderness. So they were never in the dark even at night, because God had that pillar of fire there to lead them. It was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ leading them through the wilderness. And you and I have a light to lead us through the wilderness of this life. The Lord Jesus Christ will be your light, and He will guide you through life. He'll guide you by His Word, He'll guide you by His Spirit, and He'll guide you through Christian friends and counsel. Amen? You don't have to be afraid of the dark. Let me say this secondly. He said, the Lord is my light. And then He says, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Well, I don't have to be afraid if Jesus Christ is my light, and He is. And I don't have to be afraid if Jesus Christ is my salvation. Now, salvation in the Bible means to be saved. It means to be rescued. It means to be delivered from something. And so the question is, what do we need saving or rescuing from? And I say we need to be saved from sin and from sorrow. Sin and sorrow. We've got to be saved from both those things in life. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we need to be saved from sin, or else it will doom our souls. Amen? Sin will damn you. It'll doom you. It'll condemn you. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But again, it says the wage of sin is death. And so sin will doom you, and we have to be saved from our sins. Why? Because we've all sinned against God, and we must be saved from our sins and forgiven of our sins if we ever expect to live eternally with God in heaven. We die physically in this body because we're born with a killer disease, a terminal disease called sin. It's inside of us. It's in our DNA. We can't get rid of it. And sin is one day going to kill us and put us in a grave, physically speaking, whether you're saved or not. It's not our sins, plural necessarily, that kill us physically, but it's the sin within our very nature. We're by nature sinners. Our sin caused us to die physically. Our sins caused us to die spiritually and eternally. Our sin will put us in the grave. Our sins will put us in hell. You take a child, he's born. He's born a sinner. He's got a sinful nature, yet he's never sinned. When he dies physically, which he may do, if he does die physically, guess what? He's never sinned. He has no sins. Guess what? His body might die and go to the grave, but his soul is going to be with God because he's safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. He's safe under the grace of God. But once you get to the place where you're not just a sinner with a sinful nature, but you actually commit sin, that point you become accountable to God for your sins. If you die without Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity, not in the grave, but in a place called hell. The Bible teaches that God's holy, and He's righteous, and He's sinless, and that we're sinners. Because of our sin, we can't go to heaven. We can't dwell in the presence of God. Matter of fact, God can't even look at us in our sin, the Bible says, because He's so holy. That's why He sent His Son to earth to die for you and I. He sent Him on a rescue mission to do what? To save us from our sins and save us from the doom of our sin. And everyone who's accepted this free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, who's turned from their sin and turned from their own, trying to get to heaven on their own good works and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who paid for their sins, guess what? They're saved from their sins and they're saved from a devil's hell. The Lord is my light. He's also my salvation. I don't have to be afraid of going to hell. You know why? Because the Lord is my salvation. He's my salvation. Not only that, we need to be saved from sorrow. Saved from sorrow, or else it will destroy our lives. Sorrow has destroyed many a person. Many a marriage, many an individual, many a family has been destroyed by sorrow. Now, we're all going to have sorrow throughout our lives. And we're all going to experience loss of some kind in life, which will bring about sorrow and depression, things like that. An old countrywoman one time was grieving over her troubles, and her neighbor, who was a good spiritual Christian, said to her, "You know, you ought not to be so grievous over your troubles." And she said this in her wisdom. She said, "When the Lord sends us tribulations, I believe He expects us to tribulate." He says, "I'm a tribulating because I got some tribulations." You know what? We're going to tribulate in this life because we got tribulations. God sends them our way. And how we deal with them is going to determine how we're going to come out in the end. David here wasn't looking, by the way, for another weak human being or his own self to rescue him or deliver him from his sorrows, but rather he looked to the Lord his God. He said, "The Lord is my salvation." That's to be delivered or rescued from something. And some of us need to be rescued and delivered from our sorrows. The Bible said we do sorrow, but not as others who have no hope. We've got a hope, and our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday school kid came home one day and told his mom, "I learned a new song in class this morning." She said, "What is it?" He said, "It's called Trust and Okay." Trust and Okay. Well, the song is trust and obey. But if you trust God, everything's going to be okay. Amen. The Lord is my salvation. That's what David said. I don't need to be afraid. When you and I get upset with troubles, we need to go to the Bible. Just simply start reading it. Amen. And it won't be long before you're going to come across some verses that say, and it came to pass. You know what? Praise God, my troubles and tribulations don't come to stay. They come to pass. And one of these days, they're going to pass. Whatever trouble, you've had all kinds of trouble coming with, just like waves overwhelming you, but they do pass after some time. And by the grace of God, your ship's not going to go under, and you're going to make it through the storm. And you know what? These troubles come to pass. And when they come to pass, and you make it through those storms by trusting God, you know what? You're going to be a stronger Christian for that. You're going to be a stronger Christian. So don't give up the ship, amen. Keep trusting in God, and the storm will pass. Imagine that you're in a big city, like we are. You're downtown Memphis. Three thugs surround you in a dark alley. And they begin to make threats, and they flash weapons, and your heart's filled with fear. You're afraid. You're scared. You start to shake. You're scared because of these thugs that surround you, and you're by yourself. Suddenly, you see somebody coming near, and you're hoping for a rescuer or a deliverer, amen? You're hoping that it's a police officer of some kind, probably come around the corner. And in your mind, you're thinking, dear God, I hope it's not Barney Fife. Let it be Texas Walker Ranger, amen? Or Walker Texas Ranger. Let it be him. Now, if you see Barney Fife, man, your fears are not going to be relieved, amen? If you see Walker Texas Ranger, you're going to be, thank God, I hope Trevette's with him too, amen? Everything's going to be all right. They're going to take care of you, right? Now, you know what? We don't have any man we have to look to rescue us. We've got the Lord God Almighty on our side. And David said, I'll not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is my salvation. He's going to deliver me. He's going to rescue me when I need rescuing. Amen? So, you need to be saved from your sin and rescued from sorrow many a time. And so, David says, I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus Christ is my light. I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus Christ is my salvation. And then thirdly, look at this again. He says, the Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't need to be afraid because Jesus Christ is my strength. He's my strength. You don't need to be afraid of being helpless or powerless or defenseless because God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is your strength if you're a Christian. Jesus Christ, He's my stronghold. He's my fortress. He's my shelter from the storm. Amen. And so David says, he asks this question, he says, whom shall I fear? Well, if the Lord's my light and my salvation, why should I be afraid? That'd be irrational. Why is that? Because who's greater or stronger than God Almighty? Nobody is. So if God is my light, if He's my salvation, if He's my strength even, nobody can overcome God. And if I'm trusting in Him, everything's going to be okay because He is my strength and He is going to take care of me no matter how helpless or powerless or defenseless I feel I may be. Matter of fact, Paul said in my weakness, he said, I'm made strong because of God's power. Amen. He's our stronghold. He's our high tower. He's our refuge. In Christ, we find our we find our safety from danger because He is our strength. Proverbs 18, verse 10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, that's a saved, runneth into it and is safe. If you want some safety, you need to run to the rock of safety, the strong tower, and His name is Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, the psalmist said this, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely, he says, He's going to deliver me from the snare of the fowler, and He's going to cover me with His feathers, and under His wings, he said, I can trust, and he says, He's going to be a shield and a buckler for me. He said, I don't need to be afraid of terror by night. I don't need to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that walks in darkness. I don't need to be afraid of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, all these troubles and trials. He said that God is going to deliver you because He's going to be your refuge and your strength. He's my fortress, amen? Yes. Now, if you've ever seen a hurricane or been in one, you can relate to the idea, the image of a hurricane and a terrible storm in your mind. A hurricane is probably the most, probably the greatest and largest and most damaging event that ever takes place in the weather on this planet is a hurricane. Anyone with common sense during a storm like that seeks refuge from a storm, particularly a hurricane. Now, there's some fools down there. Every year there's a hurricane, they have a hurricane party. Now, that's a fool, amen? I mean, you're just asking for trouble. And when somebody doesn't leave when the hurricane comes, they're not brave, they're a fool. They're a fool. And by the way, they may not fear the storm until it gets to them. Then they realize they made a big mistake. There's some unhealthy fears, there's some healthy fears. The healthy fear is before the storm gets you, you need to get out of the way. But now, if a hurricane comes your way, you're going to seek some shelter. And the greater the storm, the more intense the storm is, the stronger the refuge you need to protect you from it. The stronger the hurricane may be, they have category 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And the stronger that storm is, the stronger refuge you need to seek to survive it. If a hurricane comes your way, you don't want to be caught in a mobile home, amen? You don't want to be living in the trailer park and staying in the trailer park. One time a hurricane came to where we lived out in Navarre between Pensacola and Fort Walton, and it was coming our way, and some friends of ours called and said, "What are you going to do? We're going to ride this one out. My landlord says it's going to go the other way." He says they always do. That's what he told me. So he was right, by the way. But it did get about 20 miles off the coast where it moved down the other way. But in the meantime, the highway there, it runs along the waterfront there, had some friends living in a trailer park there. They weren't going to leave either. Then they called us and they said in the middle of the night, they said, "Hey, can we come to your house?" "Sure, what's going on?" "We're in the trailer here. We're about to get blown away." And I said, "Okay, well, come on over." And they got there about an hour later. They only live about 15 minutes down the road, but it took them an hour to get there. So what took you so long? He said, "Well, the wind, the rain, everything going on out here, things flying through the air." And he said, we stepped into water that deep. And he said, "There are white caps on the highway. And we're driving through that hoping the car don't die. And that we die when it dies." Well, they made it to our house and we were about two or three miles off from the water. And so that makes a big difference. So we survived the night. But it was scary. And I said, "Okay, this is the last time we're staying. I don't care if it does veer off," which it did. "This is too close." You know what? You want to be in a strong refuge when the storm comes. Now, if I was in the storm center that's constructed of concrete and reinforced with steel, I probably wouldn't have been worrying too bad. But my house wasn't like that. It wasn't built like that. It wasn't built to take that kind of abuse. You know what? In your life, you're going to have a strong refuge to survive the storms that come your way. And sometimes the storms are more intense than others in your life. Sometimes they just blow through and blow by and nothing comes of it. And sometimes they come, and they come just like hell on high water. And you're going to have a tough time. Now, when the storms of life surround you, don't think you can hold up. You don't need to be afraid, because Jesus Christ is your strength. He is your refuge. He is your mighty fortress. Amen. A mighty fortress is our God. He is a mighty fortress. Now, we ought to be able to say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, because He is my strength." So David says this. He said, "I don't need to be afraid because the Lord is my light. I don't need to be afraid because the Lord is my salvation. And I don't need to be afraid because the Lord is my strength." Now I want to finish the message with this. Sometimes you may feel that you're all alone. And you're fearful and you're anxious. And all these things creep in. But the fact is that no matter what comes your way, God's still there. I mean, if the clouds obscure the sun, the sun still shines, amen? It's still shining whether you see it or not. And whether or not you can see God or sense God's presence, if you're saved, He's still there if you're trusting in Him. And even when you can't see Him or feel Him, He's there. Now, let me tell you this story. The American Indians had a unique initiation for their young braves. And on the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a thick forest of woods, to spend the entire night alone. And until then, he'd never been away from the security of his home, of his village, of his family, of his tribe, of his father. But on his 13th birthday, Dad would take the young brave and he'd blindfold him in the village. He said, "Now we're going to take a walk, son." And they'd go out for a walk. And when they went for a walk, they went for a walk for quite a distance. And then it was getting near dark. The father would remove that blindfold and say, "Okay, son, You need to stay right here in this spot all night long and do not move. Don't move from this spot. Don't leave this spot. Don't move from this spot. You stay here all night. This is your initiation night. This is the night you become a man. And what you're going to do is you're going to stay here all night long in the woods, and in the morning I'll come get you. So Dad takes the blindfold off, leaves him there in the woods, and he's there all night long. And of course, out in the woods, in those days, there was no light. Especially if there was no moon. If it was a moonless night, it was pitch black. You probably can't see your hand in front of your face in the woods on a dark night like that. And so he's out in the woods like that, and every time a twig snaps or an animal creaks by or howls or the wind blows, he can imagine a wolf there coming after him for dinner, or a snake calling through the woods, or who knows what, or maybe another tribe coming their way to attack the village and find him there and kill him and slaughter him. He's scared. He's afraid. And it was a terrifying night for any brave in that time. Well, after what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight would start coming through the forest. He'd look around. He'd see the flowers. He'd see the trees. He'd see the outline of the path that he came through, that his dad brought him through. He realized, okay, this is where I don't know where I'm at, actually, but this is where father left me. And he said, he's looking around, and then he sees a figure in a tree through the woods. And guess who it is? It's his father. And you know what? He says to his father, he said, "I was afraid, Dad." And his father says, "It's okay, I was here all night watching you." You know, he was never alone. He thought he was alone, but he was never alone. And so there's times in life where you think nobody's there, God's not there, but you know what? God's still watching over you and caring for you. And David said again, he said in Psalm 27, he said, the message is this, the message is, there's no need to fear if Jesus Christ is your light. There's no need to fear if Jesus Christ is your salvation. There's no need to fear if Jesus Christ is your strength and your stronghold. And if you're saved this morning, know Christ is your Savior, you belong to Him, you're His. And you know what? He's going to take care of you. He's going to look after you. There's no need to fear, just only trust in Him. And so I want you to walk away from this message this morning, Lord willing, be able to say, I'm not going to fear because Jesus Christ is my light, Jesus Christ is my salvation, and Jesus Christ is my strength. And just like that father in that story I told, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus Christ is with you, and he's with you all the time.